When I started this series, I was greatly looking forward to hearing the viewpoints of those who agreed with Graham Hancock, because I didn't really care as much about Graham Hancock as I did about the theories that he was putting forward. But most of his supporters who ended up watching my video just ended up seeing it as a personal attack, with only one real notable exception. I had a man reach out to me on Instagram named Dan, who uses the username Dedunking, excellent username, by the way, to tell me that he had made a response video about me. And I watched it, and it was great. He's as snide and snarky as I am, but looks like what I'd look like if I could actually grow a full beard and didn't know what an electric razor was. And I talked with him for a while on Instagram, and he was really nice. It was very refreshing to be able to talk to someone who I disagree with, but are still able to actually have a discussion. And I watched it, and it was great. And I watched it, and it was great. And I watched it, and it was great.
Spoiler alert, for the next 40 minutes or so, I'm just gonna let that play on a loop. Well, hello and welcome to Dedunking. I'm Dan, and in this episode we're going to cover Mini Minute Man responding to Graham Hancock's Ancient Apocalypse Episode 7. Yeah, I know it's been a little while since I've covered Milo, and you know, the thing is he kind of stepped out of covering the Woo for a little bit. He was just doing educational stuff, and all of a sudden here in the last few weeks he's come back with this fury of like three shorts a day of just mocking the hell out of people that believe in giants and all this stuff. And well, you know, seeing him just go after the Woo again, it made me all horny. Nostalgic. It made me nostalgic, and so I wanted to cover one of his videos again. So without further ado, let's do episode 7 of Ancient Apocalypse, as covered by Milo from Mini Minute Man.
Howdy, friends. My name is Milo, and welcome back to Ancient Apocalypse, analyzing Ancient Apocalypse. Today we're going to be analyzing Ancient Apocalypse, the series where I go through every single one of the episodes of Graham Hancock's Ancient Apocalypse series on Netflix to deduce whether or not there truly was a lost civilization at the end of the last ice age.
Well, not to be too terribly pedantic right out the gate, but don't you mean a lost civilization with high technology? I mean, the guys at Bill Gobekli Tepe, if you want to use that nebulous civilization definition they like to throw around nowadays, you could argue that they were maybe a civilization and they were lost. And I'm sure there were lots of other people that had some idea of something beyond just hitting rocks on other rocks back in those days. So you could say that basically I'm being pedantic and I got 1 point, you got none.
Can't go wrong with that. Ancient Apocalypse, Episode 7, is surprisingly the one where Graham Hancock grasps at straws the most. The thesis of this episode is that Graham Hancock claims to have found ancient underground survival bunkers designed to protect humanity from a meteor strike.
And I'll have to turn right around and concede a point to Milo. I have to agree that
time is racing towards us.
That Graham Hancock is a little bit out there when he says that this place was all set up to defend us against comets. I mean, the fact that Darren Kuyu exists doesn't mean that it was a place that was necessarily a shelter. It just means that it was.
And we might survive.
It just means that it was a place that was built to shelter from something, not necessarily a comet. It could have just been from the elements, even, right? Anyway, good lord, man. I just thought you'd heard the end of that, huh?
In this episode, Graham Hancock heads back to Turkey, where he claims that he has found evidence of ancient underground survival bunkers. They are networks and labyrinths of winding passages and caverns carved out of tuff stone. Tuff is a volcanic ash stone, so it is very soft and easy to carve through.
Oh, it's really soft stone, but they call it tuff stone, and you just expect all of us lay people to just fall in line and be like, yeah, the soft rock is called hard, dur dur dur. This is why nobody believes you guys for anything anymore, I swear. Apologies, I'll start getting serious after this. That was such a low-hanging dad joke, and I have kids. I have no option. I had to make the joke, I'm sorry.
Now, Graham Hancock, I'll give him credit because he stays really consistent to the rest of his series at the start of this episode. As he has done in every single episode so far, he makes a broad assumption right off the bat to set the stage for what you are supposed to think about the site. There is, and I cannot stress this enough, no way that Graham Hancock can tell you without reasonable doubt that the people who built this place were motivated by fear. And when he does this at the beginning of the episode, he does it in such a sort of nonchalant way that you almost just accept it, and it goes on to make everything in the rest of the episode makes sense. Because if you don't think like this, well, then the whole theory falls apart. And hell, as we're about to see, even if you do think like this, the whole theory still falls apart.
Well, there's no way we can know for sure what the intention of when they built the place. There's certainly some features like the doors we'll talk about that make it pretty obviously a defensive structure. Also, the size of a lot of the doorways and stuff being deliberately just small enough for one person to come through if they crouch their head a little bit. That's the kind of thing that you do in a defensive structure. It makes a lot more sense that they would be doing it to defend themselves against the Assyrians or someone like that than it would be against the fire from the sky.
But it's unsuited for...
Sorry. Anyway.
What is the thing that makes tough so important? I'm sure some of you are familiar with the Mohs hardness scale. It is the way that we deduce the hardness of a rock, with diamond being 10 and something really soft like talc or chalk being a 1. Now, tough on that scale is a 3, meaning that it's about the same hardness as your fingernail. And a fingernail has a little bit of bite to it, but I mean, if you had a rock made only out of solid fingernail, you'd probably be able to carve through it pretty easily. Man, that is a disturbing thought. The site which Graham Hancock talks about in this episode is called Derinkuyu. Now, let's have a look at the area that Derinkuyu is in. Neat. You'll notice that Derinkuyu is in an area that is more or less devoid of trees, surrounded by some flat-top mesas, but more or less an open expanse of land. Now, if you were a group of ancient people living in this area, and you learned that the stone beneath your feet is so soft that you could dig through it with just a river rock, that seems like a pretty good place to build a dwelling. And build a dwelling they did, because there are these subterranean caverns in multiple places in this region.
Well, buddy, I have to say that you provided about as much evidence for it being a dwelling as Hancock provided for it being a shelter. Just saying, well, look around, man, this is probably the most likely thing. It isn't, you know, I mean, it makes sense. It's not worthless, but it's not really evidence. And when you were just mocking Hancock for doing exactly that, this kind of seems a little on its ear, doesn't it?
And they are highly complex, featuring not only multiple rooms and multiple passageways, but up to 15,000 air ducts. Now, the original hypothesis for who dug these tunnels is that it was dug in the 7th century by Christians. However, more recent evidence has suggested that it was actually dug around 800 BCE. Of course, Graham Hancock does not like this theory, and so he says, don't trust the notice boards, do the legwork yourself. And so, Graham Hancock, I have spent the last God knows how many minutes doing the legwork myself, and I have a splitting migraine because of it. I wouldn't have to do so much legwork if you got a single thing right. Now, the reason why Derinkuyu is so difficult to date is because there is not that much natural material there, because the tunnels have been known about for a long time, and so with people coming in and out, there's really not been any time for things to just remain down there until archaeologists could get to them to date them. And without those concrete radiocarbon dates, it's really hard to assign a date to the entire site.
And this is actually extremely important. The fact that this site, it cannot be dated, makes this kind of funny for me to watch, because of course Hancock is going to throw this bit back as far as he wants, right? But people battling it are going to be like, well, the oldest that we can prove that it is this far back, so anything further is ridiculous. But it has been kicked back in recent time by several hundred years. And the reality of it is, in a place like this where you absolutely cannot date it, and you're dating it by the oldest trash that you can find, I'm going to go out on a limb and say a culture that busted their ass to carve this thing out wouldn't be leaving a bunch of crap laying around, especially on the uppermost layers. Like you say, if you've been trampling for the longest time, that's the oldest stuff, right? Obviously, is the uppermost layers. So what the hell kind of garbage are you going to find there after 1,000 years, 1,500 years? It's datable. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's the first place that anybody that goes down is going to find are those upper layers. So any of that trash got carried out long before our great-grandparents were born. There's the dating of this could well go back as far as Hancock would like. And in my opinion, it's kind of funny because Hancock building a case off of this is like, well, there's a hole there so I can go with it. And then watching academia try to like, well, the oldest we can go with this, it's like you know that your position is a house of sand here, man. It doesn't really matter what the oldest thing we can date in the place is. We have nothing, no writings about it when it was built or anything like that. As far as we know, it was built by freaking Gilgamesh himself before the flood as a place to hide when he was going down to get that freaking flower to make him immortal or something. I don't know. It's been a few days since I read the story. Was that Gilgamesh or was that a Pokemon story? I can't remember.
But the oldest evidence that we currently have is about the 8th century BCE to the Phrygians, who are theorized to have been hiding from the Assyrians, who Graham Hancock talks about, you know, how they would skin babies and, like, set people on fire and whatnot. You know, I would be motivated by fear, too, in that case. So it's interesting that Graham Hancock brings up the fact that it was built by the Phrygians, who were motivated by fear, because this would support his initial hypothesis. And this theory is supported even further by the fact that Derinkuyu has rolling stone doors. Enormous slabs of stone in which you could, you know, insert some sort of pry bar and be able to roll them into place, remove the pry bar, and essentially seal yourself in one of these subterranean caverns. Now, that would be the perfect place to conduct guerrilla warfare, which is exactly what the Phrygians did against a much larger foe. So Graham Hancock must love this theory, right? It proves that they were motivated by fear, it proves they were trying to seal themselves in there, and then he goes on to say that a determined attacker would easily be able to break through this door. I guess that's the wrong kind of thing to be afraid of. And he really works hard to try and prove that these stone doors were not made to deter human attackers. Because if he does admit that, then his theory falls apart.
Well, Milo, I disagree, and I believe if me and you were talking to each other, you would probably disagree with that too pretty quickly if you think about it. You've got a nuanced take coming up here in this video on how there's more than one potential use for Derinkuyu, more than one potential purpose. I mean, the place is old, right? I mean, it shows a lot of signs of them being good at this with the air holes and stuff. I mean, the ventilation shafts and whatnot, they definitely did this for more than one or two generations. Given that, you're probably going to have more than one or two intentions here, like the upper levels being all normal human living stuff, and the further down you go, the more defensive and esoteric and secretive it gets. That would kind of stand to reason, wouldn't it? So in my opinion, if the rocks were entirely there to defend against the Assyrians, it still doesn't undermine Hancock's hypothesis that the place was built to survive a flood. No more music.
Graham Hancock, standing in the caves at Derinkuyu, is talking to one of the archaeologists who works there, and he sort of challenges him on who really were the oldest inhabitants at this site, sort of implying that there is a bit of a truth that is not being talked about. And the speaker sort of responds with, there's many theories, Graham, which is very well put, and my heart goes out to this man. But the thing we have to remember is that the speaker, which Graham Hancock is speaking to, is someone who works at this site. This person has objectively the best grasp on the history of Derinkuyu over pretty much anyone else on planet Earth. And so I would be more willing to believe his interpretation of all of the facts than Graham Hancock trying to say that this was a survival shelter to protect people 12,000 years ago from a meteor that fell from the sky.
Well, if you're really inclined to believe him, why don't you go ahead and listen to what he has to say here?
So, when I look at Derinkuyu and the complexity of it, I am mystified. When do you think that this project started?
There are several different theories about it, and none of them is really proven by science.
Right.
They couldn't find any written information. They couldn't find any organic material to use the carbon date.
Are there any carbon dates at all?
As far as I know, there is no carbon dating.
That's extraordinary.
So the date is still a big mystery.
See, in my opinion, I think scholarship is going too far to say this was the 8th century BC, because those are the earliest dates that we find people using it.
Right.
But that we don't necessarily know that they made it then. Maybe it was already made.
Quite possible. It's still a mystery. It's just the most plausible theory,
yes.
Not the only correct theory.
So, yeah, he's got an opinion based on the oldest datable material that they found, but he's quick to admit that science doesn't know.
So, you want my theory? I think it was a little bit of a combination of both a defensive structure as well as a living structure. And there's a couple reasons for that. Firstly, in the upper chambers of this structure, there are, I guess, functional spaces. So things like distilleries, there's stables, there's storage rooms, there's all kinds of stuff associated with actual production. Now, to me, this implies not, you know, we're gonna go lock ourselves underground and make as much wine as we want, as much fun as that sounds, but more of a, these are facilities that we all need. We essentially have a limitless space to build as many rooms as we want, as long as we're just scraping at the walls, we can just dig forever. And so we can pretty much retrofit this cave system to become not only a living space, but also a workspace. And to give my theory a little bit more credence, if you look at the area around it, as I pointed out earlier, it's a fairly inhospitable place. It would be a lot more challenging to build a permanent structure out in these plains with really no building materials than it would be to just find a rock that's harder than tough and then just dig into the ground. Not only this, but you'd have a phenomenal amount of thermal insulation while you're underground. This would omit the need for fireplaces and heating ticketing systems and all of the stuff that you would otherwise need to deal with at the top. Also, something I just thought of now is in a place with not all that many trees, it would probably be better to live in a place where you don't have to make fires to keep yourself warm. And I guess tangentially related to the trees, if you are underground, there is no material upkeep. All you have to do is dig a room once and the room is there forever. You can kind of just use it for whatever you want. And of course, last but not least, is you can make these places as big as you want. As long as there is tuff on one side of the room, you can just keep digging forever.
And here it is. Of course, you've got some nuanced takes on it when you look at it for yourself, but when you're going to debunk Hancock, you're going to say, if that stone circle ain't exactly what you think it should be, well, then your entire theory falls apart. No, those stone slabs could be non-existent. Those stone slabs could be made of granite. Either one of them wouldn't change Hancock's position on it, because really he's hanging his hat on this thing being an underground bunker, right? And because it's undateable, there's not really a whole lot you can do to dissuade him from that or to disprove it. And that's kind of where this one makes me laugh a lot, because if I was debunking all of Hancock's videos one at a time, this would be the one where I would have to say, that doesn't make sense to me, but we've got no evidence to say otherwise. That doesn't make sense to me, but we've got no evidence to say otherwise. Because that's exactly where it is. The stuff that he's saying may not make sense to you, but you've got nothing you can say that's going to undermine it, because you don't know how old the damn thing is. And that's really what it comes down to.
So anyway, that's my interpretation of this site, pulling from the official interpretation as well as sort of just my own spitballing. But Graham has some very interesting things to say about this place. He notes that the wall striations, or the scrapes in the wall, look like they were made with a hand axe. Now, hand axes are something that we see in great antiquity in the archaeological record. They are some of the oldest and more, primitive stone tools, if you want to put it like that. And so because these stone tools are associated with great antiquity in the archaeological record, Graham Hancock is claiming that is the tool that was used to carve this place, and that justifies why it fits into his timeline. Meaning that these caves are, of course, not the widely accepted 2,000 years old, but are actually 12,000 years old, just like everything else in this show.
Now, I didn't see anything that was like an in-depth study of the different stone tools that were used to carve Darren Kuyu, which would be kind of interesting given the context here, because in all honesty, if the uppermost chambers are the most lived in, right? You would think they would be the most finished, and if they are all really roughly hewn compared to the rest of them, that would almost imply some sort of weird, like, ancestor worship going on, that they don't want to undo the fingerprints of Grandpa on the wall over there or something. I mean, I'm just spitballing here myself, but, you know, it seems to me that, like, if you live in this area and the walls are just, you just walk up and scratch on them and you make it what you want, why the hell would you leave it all rough hewn and stuff when you could just make them look like the other ones that are all nice and stuff? I mean, you go further down, it seems like things look pretty good. So, again, I would like to see evidence of it, because I wouldn't put it past anybody in this sphere, sadly, to say, oh, yeah, this one room over here is indicative of this entire layer. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Frustratingly, that seems like the standard modus operandi for a lot of people on both sides of this debate. Just find that little silver bullet and shoot the other guy right out of the game.
He does have some physical evidence to back this up, and that is the discovery of hand axes. Now, you might be thinking, oh, hand axes, you know, within the caverns, hand axes embedded in the walls or in some sort of workroom. No, they are hand axes that were found in a river like a few miles away. I don't really know how clear I can make this, other than that association means literally nothing. Just because two things were found, like, in the same area as one another does not mean that they're related to one another. And obviously, I know that he's not saying that those particular hand axes were used to carve out this site, but he claims that those hand axes were dated to about 9,500 years ago, and the fact that he is willing to bet that those hand axes are somehow related to the hand axes used to carve out this place, and that therefore those dates are connected to one another, is just ridiculous.
Well, again, I would like to see some work done on the different tools that were used to carve Darren Kuyu and the different layers and whatnot, but if the first layer is done with hand axes and the tool marks match those kinds of hand axes that were found from 9,500 years ago, that is, like, it's not saying those tools are indicative of the ones that made it per se, but if they match the same marks, that does kind of be like, okay, well, maybe it was the same kind of tools, which would definitely date it based on the tools that people were using, right? I mean, that's not crazy, right? If you see addle-addle stuff, you know that you're not talking about pre-addle-addle days. That's not complicated.
Anyway, moving along. The Nevashir tunnels are located about 17 miles away from Derinkuyu, and they are another complex tunnel system also carved out of the tuff stone. Now, what is Graham Hancock at this site for? Is he also claiming that this is another place where people went to hide from a meteor 12,800 years ago? Yes, that's exactly what he's claiming. But he makes a really good point to try and prove this. He goes to a blocked tunnel in the Nevashir tunnels and says that there is some theory that it runs all the way to Derinkuyu. This has never been proven. There is absolutely no evidence backing this up. Again, he's just sort of saying a thing.
Well, in typical Hancock fashion, he doesn't really call it a theory. He just says it, some people say.
It's impossible today, but this blocked tunnel is claimed by some to connect Kaimakli to Derinkuyu.
But it is kind of interesting because a number of these cities that are in that area, there's like 30-some-odd underground cities in that area, and a number of them are connected by tunnels, so it's not unthinkable. Whether or not it's true or not, it's an impassable tunnel, we don't know. I guess we could send a robot down it, but they're having a hard enough time to get those. They shoot down Queen's Chambers nowadays. I can't imagine them sending them down a 5-mile tunnel.
But the beautiful irony here is that Graham Hancock is doing the same thing he did with the solstice-aligned mounds, where when you look at all of these places as a geographic region, you start to see a similarity. You start to see that at this part of the world, at a certain period in time, multiple people were digging tunnel systems underground because that was the cultural thing to do.
That seems really reductionist to me. Well, that's just the thing to do. Like the entire culture was obsessed with cosplaying freaking Bug's Life, and so they were building up this gigantic stage to be a giant anthill or something. I mean, it's kind of anomalous, man. You don't see a lot of places like this on the planet, so it is worthy of some degree of inquiry and investigation. And this is something I bring up a lot. When the archaeology debunker types do this, you guys put a big wide foot in the door for Wu when you discount mysteries like this. When something is mysterious and it's interesting, you're like, eh, nothing to see here. Well, who do you think's going to step into the gap to all the people that are like, well, there kind of seems like something for me to see there?
He claims that all of these sites are, you know, part of some master plan where every single one of them was motivated by fear to hide from the meteor, to go underground. But if you remove the meteor theory, you can see another very obvious association, which is that there were multiple groups of people who lived in the area with this very soft stone, and it was the cultural thing to dig your homes into the stone. It's amazing how Graham Hancock can take a sort of cultural flair that an ancient group of people had that's really interesting and then just smother it in this mystical bullshit and like completely crush all of the interestingness out of it.
Hancock's the one crushing the mystery out of it? How does that track? So let's get this straight. Hancock says that it was built like to hide from a comet and stuff, and that it was like something that people were afraid of, and that it was obviously built a really long time ago, and your position is, well, the oldest carbon dating we got says this, and they were probably hiding from the Assyrians. Both of you just kind of have like these opinions, and neither one is really firmly put in science. Hancock's would be more mysterious and more interesting if it panned out, wouldn't it? And invites more inquiry. Let's be clear. That's really where mystery lies, is in the ability to posit sensible questions and not feel like you're pissing up a rope. If you pigeonhole Derinkuyu into this is what it is, then there is no room for sensible questions. You have to ask mundane questions, and mundane questions, while interesting to academics, tend to be boring to most people. But interesting questions are not. So I beg to differ. I would say that for narrative purposes, for storytelling purposes, for highlighting the interest of Derinkuyu, for tourism's purposes, Hancock's position is infinitely better than yours is, Milo, no offense. While yours may be more rooted in reality, although, again, the science is out, I would agree that the idea of it being a comet fallout shelter is a little far-fetched, but some sort of a shelter proper and being much older than you're giving it credit for, I have no problem with it being 5,000 years old. I mean, the thing... the fact that they've got all these fancy air vents and shit says that they really worked on this technology for a very, very long time. And I would posit that may well be what some of the doors are about, is about airflow, not fire prevention, but about actual duct work, right? This time of year, you block off these sections and it gets cold over there and stays hot over here. That's not complicated, right? That's not crazy, but it is the kind of thing they would have to trial and error over generations. I think that probably happened like that. There's room there for mystery, man. But just saying, nope, you know, the carbon dating says that this was done, and those Assyrians, man, they were probably the ones, and that's just, it is what it is, because that's what the evidence says as the oldest that it could possibly be, although we know for a fact that that's not the closed door. We know for a fact we'll never know how old these tunnels are until we figure out a way to date how old rock was carved. I find it very ironic that you would accuse Hancock of killing the mystery here.
I would love to hear more about these sites. I am an archaeologist, and this is the first time I heard about Darren Kuyu, and I want to know more. I want to see this site for what it actually was. I want to understand, you know, what the archaeologists are saying about it. I don't want to look at this site as it being, you know, some part of a master plan and, you know, whatever the conspiracy theory is. And so it's a shame that for many people, the very first time they hear about Darren Kuyu, it is going to be associated with Graham Hancock's conspiracy, because there's a story to be told here. There's a story of real people who work to dig a place like this, people who lived in here. But now, the thing that people are going to associate these sites with is Graham Hancock's mystical bullshit.
There's a YouTube guy, Atumshe Films, and I'll put the link thing down below and stuff, but he did a video responding to another YouTuber by the name of Brandon F. And Brandon covers, like, military history from, like, the colonial era, like, a lot of British military history from around the 1700s and stuff, right? And he has a big problem with the movie The Patriot starring Mel Gibson because it's historically inaccurate as hell. And Atumshe Films has this entire video responding to Brandon's takes on that. And his point is that it's okay that the film completely misportrays this because it does create a interest in history, and the people that actually care enough will get in and look, and the people that don't actually care enough are going to walk away and kind of forget this stuff anyway. So that's basically the long and short of it from what I took away from his video, was that it's okay to like put information out there that publicizes things that's a little bit wrong, because the people that actually care will look and see, and at least it publicizes it. And I know that Milo and Atumshe have hung out a few times together, or at least once they did a collaborative video type of thing. And I'm not saying that you have to have a hegemony of opinions, but I do think that, you know, it's something that's worth noting here. If you are going to complain about a site that you never heard of before being brought to you by Graham Hancock, I really don't see how you can do that. You are now aware of the site. Now you are able to do the research into the site. Now you can go look into it and say, holy shit, I'm going to travel to Turkey and check out Darren Kuyu. Well, I stop at all these other places too. Before Hancock, that wasn't on your radar. You know, you can complain that everybody's thinking of it with mystical bullshit and woo. Did you go there looking for Atlantis? I posit that a lot of people that go there aren't looking for Atlantis. And the people that are probably don't care what you have to say about it anyway, right? So I find this really, more pedantic than my complaining at the beginning. Pedantic is probably the wrong word, but more superficial than my complaining at the beginning. This is, who gives a rat shit fuck? This thing goes out into the world now.
And it is just so frustrating that so many people probably watched this show because they love archaeology and they wanted to learn the truth. Thank God this episode's almost over. He starts talking about Zoroastrianism, you know, one of the oldest, the longest practiced religions in the world. And he's like, they have stories of a big winter that happened and everyone was told to go hide underground in underground, you know, places. Now, Graham, I don't know if I really need to tell you this, but that religion arose in a part of the world where it was culturally significant to live underground, not because there was a meteor coming, but because that was the thing you did, because it was just the most logical place to make your dwelling. And you remember that thing I said earlier about living underground giving you a wonderful amount of thermal insulation? It kind of makes sense that there is, you know, a ancient story in this area where there are homes underground about them hiding there to not freeze to death, especially when the area above ground gets really really cold and doesn't have any shelter on it.
So we have a myth in the area that people dug out this underground shelter to survive a freezing cold winter at the whim of a god or whatever, or prophet or who knows what. And your position is, well, that's, you know, just a myth. And basically, you know, this is how people lived, is they survived the winter every year this way. Again, I would put it to you that you are the one that is removing any magic from this whole site at this point. You're the one that's making this, like, not interesting.
I cannot believe that Graham Hancock can put all of these things together and think that it is evidence of a meteor coming from space and people trying to dig a fallout shelter underground. Especially when he claims that the meteor landed in North America. Okay, let's get into the last quote of this stupid episode. No, I'm not even bothering writing this down. That's like 30 seconds of my life I'll never get back. Here's the quote. The stunning implication is that an advanced civilization whose influence spanned the globe coexisted with hunter-gatherers at the end of the last ice age. I know I've done this gag many times before, but I'm going to do it again. We're going to compile a list of all the things Graham Hancock has said that actually support his theory. Nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for episode 7. Please return your textbooks to the front of the classroom and prepare for lesson 8.
I compiled a list of all of the stuff that you did in this video that undermined Hancock's position. It was about as big. The reality of it is again, Darren Cuyu is undateable, and debunking this episode, to be honest with you, is kind of funny because you can't. All you can do is say, I don't agree, 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 I don't agree. Science ain't giving you shit to undermine him at this point, and this at all. As far as Darren Cuyu being a fallout shelter from a comet, there ain't a damn thing you can do except say, that doesn't make sense. That's the best you've got. So it's kind of funny to me that you would say, you've got no evidence. It's like you made, you know, a video debunking it, and basically your entire video was, no, I don't agree because, well, they just built their homes there. This isn't a shelter. It's just their homes. Okay, well, that's nice. You both got some nice opinions there. Sweet. Science, as the experts say, is inconclusive. Anyway, I want to thank you all very much for sticking with me this far and watching the end of the video. And don't forget to like and subscribe. And thanks again, Milo, for being the stud that you are when it comes to these kinds of things. I feel like I can, I don't have to pull my punches with you, but I also don't feel like any sort of vitriol when I'm talking at you. It's like, I'd say a good sparring partner for these discussions. And I appreciate that quite a bit. Keep making those angry videos, pissing all over these boneheads on TikTok and stuff. The shorts are pretty beautiful, man. It's hilarious to watch you take on some of these guys. Anyway, thank you very much. Have a good evening. Don't forget to like and subscribe. See you next time.